This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الثالث من شهر المحرم 1445 الموافق ل 9 من شهر جولاي 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا فيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today بإذن الله عز وجل we are supposed to deal with a new chapter which is about بيان جواز الشرب قائما وبيان أن الأكل أن الأكمل والأفضل الشرب قائدا. This is a chapter that will talk about the permissibility of drinking while standing whenever there is need. And also it tells us that it is always better for a person to drink while seated. قال وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال سقيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من زمزم فشرب وهو قائم. عبد الله بن عمر said I gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a zamzam during the Hajj or Umrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drank the zamzam while standing. So this one you can understand, the place where the zamzam is located is next to the Kaaba, and up to date this is one of the most crowded places. So it is part of the ease, leniency of the Sharia to provide people with something that will make life easy for them wherever it is necessary. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank while standing at that moment. Maybe somebody needs to talk to them if they can. No, if you can talk to them, I think this one is. This one is better than this in terms of people listening. So as I was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank the Zamzam water while standing, and that shows permissibility according to some scholars, and some scholars stick to those nawahi, the prohibitions by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a Muslim shouldn't drink while standing. But as I said, and our scholars also mentioned, this is to make life easy whenever it is necessary for us to go for this, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing it during the Hajj, and Zamzam water is located in that place which is almost crowded all the time. So it is not easy for somebody in the middle of the crowd to go down, you know, especially in our time. There are those people who are stopping in that place praying. You can see how much harm they are causing people who are making the tawaf. So that's why the best to combine between all of these ahadiths that we are going to be hearing and those which will come later on about Zajrun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shurbi Qa'iman, is to say that if there is a need, it is okay for a person to go for it. If not, then it is wrong for a person to go for it. Qala wa'an An-Nizal ibn Sabirah قال وعن النزال ابن سبرة قال أتى علي رضي الله عنه باب الرحبة فشرب قائما وقال إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل كما رأيتموني فعلت. النزال ابن سبرة he said Ali ibn Abi Talib came to the Bab al-Rahba and he drank while standing. And then he said to them that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing exactly in the way you see me doing. So the fact that people find it strange and explanation have to be given to them, that means there is an issue with that, or people, the common knowledge they have is something different from what is being practiced. That's why the one who does it has to explain to the people that he has a source for this. Which means the norm is the contrary. And this is the best approach and the safest opinion, actually. The best approach and the safest opinion is to go with the wasiyah and the nahi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person shouldn't drink while standing. And we also mentioned earlier that it is also unhealthy, confirmed to be unhealthy to the life of a human being. قال وعن ابن عمر قال كنا نأكل على أهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نمشي ونشرب ونحن قيام. Abdullah ibn Umar said, we used to eat while standing and also we drink while standing during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This one is before the Nahi. Because Anas ibn Malik, as you're going to see in the last hadith, he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam zajara an ash-shurb qa'iman. He warned somebody not to drink while standing. So they ask him, how about eating? He says, dhaka ashar. He said, this is worse. This is more evil for a person to eat while standing. So that could be the first part of Islam. But then later on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them not to go for eating or drinking while standing. قال وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب قائما وقاعدا. عمرو بن شعيب reported hadith that says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was seen drinking sometimes قائما and sometimes قاعدا. So all of these hadith that we have mentioned, they are confirming that yes, that impermissibility could be reduced to dislikeness in the case of somebody who is in need of it. As for the person who doesn't need, in the normal circumstance, it is very inappropriate for a person to go with the one that says it is okay for you to go for a drinking while standing. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه نهى أن يشرب الرجل قائما. قال قتادة فقلنا لأنس فالأكل قال ذاك أشر أو أخبث. وفي رواية زجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الشرب قائما. Anas ibn Malik said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he made it wrong and prohibited for a person to drink while standing. That's why all of those ones could be the first part of the hijrah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not say anything, but later on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them not to do it. That could be one of the possibilities, because this narration of Anas ibn Malik in Sahih Muslim is very strong and straightforward also. Naha an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an ash-shurbi qa'ima wa qala qatada qulna li Anas fal aklu qala dhaka ashar aw akhbath. So we told Anas ibn Malik, how about eating? He said this is more evil than drinking. This is worse than drinking. وفي رواية زجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الشرب قائما. In another narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم زجر. زجر is another way of making something prohibited. It refers to emphasizing on something very much, shouting, raising up your voice when somebody is doing something that is inappropriate. So you can understand from this that yes, somebody is going in the wrong direction. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was using that approach to remind him. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يشربن أحد منكم قائما فمن نسي فليستقي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody among you should drink while standing. If somebody forgets, and he drank while standing. The Prophet said he should vomit what he drank. So if you see all of these nusus, you'll understand how serious is the matter, because Rasulullah, it is his responsibility to guide us and to tell us anything that will, you know, protect us in this dunya from getting into any trouble. So he did that. There was nothing which we need to know that will lead us to success in this dunya without having the Prophet explaining it to us in detail. That's why the manhaj of the Prophet in eating, preservation of health, is the akmalul manahij. So you can see here, he was telling the person who forgot to drink while standing, he said if he can bring out that which he took inside his stomach, that will be better for him. The Prophet said, فَمَنْ نَسِي فَلْيَسْتَقِي. The one who forgot to drink while standing, he should vomit whatever he drank. So collectively, as I said, we can come up with an opinion that says it is wrong for a person to drink while standing. However, if there is a need for that, like what happened with the Prophet ﷺ, then a person should, is allowed to go for drinking while standing. But at the first place, a person should trace the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the choice of Muhammad ﷺ, not to go against it, no matter what. And these type of things which, subhanAllah, many of us are belittling, calling them simple sunnah. This is wrong. It is wrong to call the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ a simple or small sunnah. Imam Malik, when somebody called something simple, which is part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-ilmu kabirun aw azimun kullu. See, there is no such thing in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that the Prophet ﷺ guided the Ummah to do is big. And also, it doesn't make sense for a person to not be able to do the thing that he is calling small things, and at the same time he claims that he can do the bigger ones. If I can't do the small things that I call small things, how is it possible for me to be able to do the big ones? Yeah, that's why it is always good to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything, including those recommendations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you are able to maintain them, bi-iznillahi azza wa jal, it will be possible for you to maintain the wajibat. It will be possible for you to maintain the wajibat. قَالَ بَابٌ إِسْتِحْبَابُ كَوْنِ سَاقِ الْقَوْمِ آخِرُهُمْ شُرُبًا. This chapter will talk about the recommendation, the encouragement of the Sharia, that the one who is feeding people should be the last person to drink. You are giving people something to drink, you should be the last person to drink that thing that you're giving them. You host people, you are the one who is providing the food to them. It is preferable that you should be the last one to eat after them. You get it? If it is something that you have to pass to them one after the other, you should be the last person. But if it is something that collectively people sit and eat together, then you just sit together with the people and eat. And you can be the first one, actually. Ibn Abdul Qawi says in his book, Manzumat al-Adab, وَيُكْرَهُ سَبْقَ الْقَوْمِ لِلْأَكْلِ نَهْمَةً وَلَكِنَّ رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ إِنْ شَاءَ يَبْتَدِي. Said it is dislike for a person to be the first person to put his hand in the food, you know, out of strong interest to get that food. You visited somebody, or you are in a group of people, and the food is being presented. He said, if there is an owner to that food, somebody who brought it, he should be the first person to start before anybody else, unless if he grant permission to us, or if the culture goes with us eating before him. Because sometimes, according to the culture, when the guests bring the food next to you, what does that mean? Eat. You might get annoyed if he comes back and you are still hanging around watching the food. But if the culture is not like this, he said it is makruh for you to be the first person to start. وَلَكِنَّ رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ إِنْ شَاءَ يَبْتَدِي. But for the Rabbul Bayt means the one who hosts people. If he wants, he can be the one who will start. But as I said, if you are feeding people something which you have to go one after the other, the best is to be the last person to go to go for it. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ did when Rasulullah came out. And Abu Huraira was out at that time, and he was extremely hungry. He was extremely hungry. Abu Bakr came. Abu Bakr, when he passed Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira recited an ayah for Abu Bakr to understand his need. Abu Bakr doesn't have anything. He understood, but he doesn't have anything to do for him. Subhanallah, these are the qawm. You know, these are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Sacrifice everything they have, the enjoyment and pleasure and whatever, for us to get the religion peacefully. Abu Hurairah said sometimes he will be hungry in a way he cannot even walk. People will pass him, they will think he is majnoon. They will think he has, you know, sara with him. Subhanallah. He said there was a time when he was like that. Abu Bakr passed him, he recited ayah to Abu Bakr so that Abu Bakr would understand that he needs something. Abu Bakr passed and left him because he doesn't have anything. Umar also came. Also it happens like that. He recited the ayah, Umar left him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, Sahibul Jameel. When he saw Abu Hurairah, he said, Abu Hurairah, let's go. He understood the situation. He told him, let's go. So he took Abu Hurairah to his house. He went to the house and asked the family if there is any food at home. They said, we have some balance of milk, inshallah, that we can give you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa took that milk, which is very little. You know, Abu Hurairah was looking at that milk, it is not even enough for one of them. But then the Prophet sallallahu said, Abu Hurairah, alhamdulillah, we got food, alhamdulillah, we got something. He said, oh, wait a minute, our brothers are there in the masjid, Ahl al-Suffa. He said, if you can just go and invite them, let them come and share. Abu Hurairah said, it was a very shocking moment for him because that milk was so small, you know. He was about to tell the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, it's better you just drink it alone because if even two of them, the milk cannot suffice them. But then this is the command from the Prophet. He has to say yes. So he left the masjid. He went and he brought them. They came, all of them. And subhanAllah, these sometimes they reach 80. And even some of them, some scholars said sometimes they go more than that, more than 100 people in the masjid. Because it grows, the population in the masjid grows and reduces. Yeah, these are the fuqara from the Muhajirin and the Ansar. They have no place, you know, they go to the masjid, they sleep there, they rest there, you know. So whoever gets a job, we just leave the masjid, will not come back to it again. They're not lazy people. If it doesn't have any place to go, the masjid will be the best place for them. Get it? Because the masjid in time of the Prophet ﷺ is very active, full of activities. It's not just for praying, it's for almost everything. You know, they do training in that place, they have their, what they call, meetings in that place. Prophet ﷺ meet the delegates also. People who come from far distance, they come and play, you know, their cultural things out of the masjid. You know, it's a very, very, very important, you know, center for the Muslim community that unites the believers. It wasn't for prayer alone. And it's also ma'wa for the shabab, those people who have no wife, nobody, you know, no place to go. Sometimes no house, no wife, no nobody. They go to the masjid and sleep in that place. So Abu Huraira brought them. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the milk and he gave it to Abu Huraira and ask him to pass to them to drink. That's the second punishment. The first one, go invite them first to come and share the milk. The second punishment, Abu Huraira should be the one who will go and feed each and every one of them before he takes it. Saqil qawma akhiruhum shurba. Just like what the Prophet ﷺ said here, he is also applying the same thing. So Abu Huraira was, he took the milk, doesn't know what will happen. You know, subhanAllah, most likely in his mind that he would never be able to get anything from this milk. He passed it to the first one. He drank it to his full. Second one, until he was full. Third one, and there we go. Until the end of them, Abu Hurairah was looking at the milk. It's like they are not touching anything. SubhanAllah. This is the mu'jiza, the ayah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just made dua in the food, in the milk, and then it becomes something that couldn't be finished by those people. until the time nobody left except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Hurairah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Abu Hurairah, ma baqiya illa ana wa ant. Nobody remains except me and you. Who will start? Abu Hurairah said, Ya Rasulullah, you go first. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you go first. Abu Hurairah drank. He said, I drank. You know, I told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm satisfied. He said, one more. Abu Hurairah said, I drank. I told him, Ya Rasulullah, I'm satisfied. He said, add more. You know, three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him add. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have any space for any amount now. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and finished it completely. This is one of the reasons why Abu Hurairah became one of the best in terms of memorization because of his status. You know, it doesn't have money. He said, Kuntu alzamu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala mil'i batni. If you don't see him with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not out of the house. Whenever he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of the house, he will go to him. The best example of somebody who is very serious and learning is this man. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually their behavior. Abu Hurairah accepted Islam in the year 7 of the Hijrah. That's mean he lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only three years. That's why the enemies of Islam had issue with this. They said, how is it possible for the man who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only 3 years, how is it possible for him to come and narrate this huge collection of hadith? Nobody amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was actually near Abu Hurairah in terms of memorization and rewrite hadith. Nobody. But he lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only 3 years. But that's ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons is this, because he doesn't have, you know, any money. He doesn't have business. That's why when he always talk about hadith, whenever they say something, he will say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever they talk, he will say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people started saying, Akthar Abu Hurairah. They started saying, it looks like this person, and we have doubt in what he's saying. How come every time Qala Rasulullah? So he got annoyed one day, and he told them, he said, people, wallahi, if not because of an ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, ma haddathtukum haditha. I will never agree to narrate a single hadith to you. I'm just doing it because there is an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that says those people who are hiding the knowledge, they learn and they don't teach others, Allah will punish them on the day of judgment. He said, I'm just narrating the hadith to you because I don't want to be among those ones. He said, if not because of this, because of your behavior and the way you are reacting to my narrations, I will never say a single hadith. But I don't want to get into trouble with Allah. And then subhanAllah, he surprised them. He said, actually, hafiz to min Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are ayn. He said, I memorized 2 bags of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I just opened one and you guys are complaining. He said, he did not even yet open the second one. He said, I opened one of these bags. He categorized them according to the nature of those hadith. There is a purpose behind him not mentioning those ones. He said, those ones, I did not mention them now, you know, to protect myself. He said, because I believe if I am to open the second bag, most likely my head will leave its position. So these are hadiths that are related to matters of siyasa and fitan and all of these things. Maybe some people might be involved. So he's afraid of getting into trouble. Then he did not mention those hadiths at that time. But these are hadiths, we found them, you know, from here and there, either from him or from somebody else, because there is nothing from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is hidden from us. So that's number one that make him like this. And number two, also Abu Hurairah, you know, I'm saying this because you might come across somebody who is joining these enemies of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this campaign of theirs against Abu Hurairah and people like him. Abu Hurairah said, there was a time I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who can take off his garment and put it down, I will complete my hadith inside the garment, and then he take it and wear it. Subhanallah, Abu Hurairah said, I was the quickest one. Right after I heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he removed his garment and put it down before anybody else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said whatever he wanted to say at that time. Abu Hurairah said, I took it and I put it myself. He said, Wallahi, I never forgot anything I heard from the Prophet after that. SubhanAllah. So that is the secret behind that, right? It's not just ordinary person doing this and that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, made dua for him, his nature. And this event also that took place helped him to keep and remember everything he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last event that also contributed to this huge, you know, and also excellent memorization was the dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for him. They reported that there was a time Abu Hurairah was sitting, you know, he and his two friends, and they made an agreement that they are going to make dua. You know, one of them will be making dua and the rest of the two will say Ameen. Yeah, they're just sitting down talking, okay, let's make dua. I will make dua and then my two friends will say Ameen. So Abu Hurairah was the last person to make that dua. The first one stood up and he made the dua. Ask whatever he wants. You know, and Abu Hurairah is saying Ameen, and his friend also is saying Ameen. Then this first one finished his adiyah, and then now in the turn of the second one. The second one also comes and he made a long dua, you know. Abu Hurairah is saying Ameen, and the friend also is saying Ameen. And then now we have the turn of Abu Hurairah, was the last person, right? Abu Hurairah was about to begin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of the house. SubhanAllah, look at it. Ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, what are you guys doing here? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the agreement between us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, can I join? They said, yes, for sure, Ya Rasulullah. But then subhanAllah, this is the time of the turn of Abu Hurairah. The first two, they already finished their best before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined them. Abu Hurairah subhanAllah, when he started making his dua, he was very smart. Rather than spending time doing whatever they were doing, asking for long dua, he says, Ya Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluk ma sa'alaka sahibaya. He says, Ya Allah, I ask you to give me what my two friends ask. He saved his energy. He said, Ya Allah, whatever they ask, I ask you, Allah, give me what my two friends ask you to give them. And then he added one more. He said, Wa as'aluka ilman la yunsa. He said, Ya Allah, and I also ask you to give me a knowledge that I will never forget. The Prophet said, Ameen. Ameen means asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. So when those two friends, they heard the Prophet saying Ameen, they had strong interest in this one because they missed this one. In all of their dua, they never come across this. So when they heard this Ameen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we also want the knowledge that we will not forget. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sabaqakuma hadha al-ghulam ad-dawsi. He said, this young man from the tribe of Daws had superseded you. It means there is one vacancy for somebody to get it at that moment. Abu Hurairah got it before them. They can look for it through somewhere else, but at this moment Abu Hurairah got it. So combination of all of these can tell you why Abu Hurairah is the best in terms of narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But now we have one question to answer, which I believe inshallah in your study you're going to come across this. Abdullah ibn Amr, the son of Amr ibn al-As, is one of the most dedicated companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of narrating the hadith and mulazamati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very young boy, zahid, and a person who is really dedicated and committed to the knowledge. Abu Hurairah, he himself said, because Abdullah ibn Amr, he was the one who went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Quraysh told me not to write anything that comes from you, not to write everything that I heard from you. He said Quraysh. Quraysh here, he's referring to Muhajirin. He's not referring to Quraysh in Makkah because this hadith is in Medina. Quraysh are not with them. Get it? They don't like what he is doing and they will never like anything. So Quraysh here is referring to the Muhajirin. Okay, so take note because there are some who are saying Quraysh is Quraysh, Quraysh there. But this is wrong interpretation. Quraysh here is, he is referring to the Muhajirin. Those who told him, not everything you write from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah is a human being. he might make mistakes sometimes. So Abdullah ibn Amr went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained to him. And don't forget, before, in the beginning of Islam, writing hadith is halal or haram. Haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تكتب عني غير القرآن من كتب عني غير القرآن فليمحو. He said, do not write anything other than Quran from me. Whoever wrote something other than Quran, he should remove it. And that was because they were just accepting Islam, you know. They are not familiar with the revelation that much. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let them write hadith, not the Quran, they might not be able to differentiate between the Quran and the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them not to do it. But at the end of the day, he allows them to do it. We learn this from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. So Abdullah ibn Amr told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, they told me this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kadabu. Kadabu means akhta'u. They're wrong. He says, Wallahi, nothing comes out of my mouth except the truth. Just right. So Abu Huraira said, nobody knows hadith more than me except Abdullah ibn Amr. He said, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبُ وَلَا أَكْتُبُ. Because he used to write and I don't know how to write. But how is it possible that Abdullah ibn Amr, if you look at his hadith, they are not even closer to that of Abu Huraira? The scholar said, this is simply because, Wallahu alam, Abdullah ibn Amr was busy with the zuhud. He did not narrate those hadiths to the people, that's why it doesn't reach us. And some of them said because he remained in Medina, did not narrate and report his hadiths to other people, which Abu Hurairah was not like that. Move out of Medina and spread his knowledge to many other people. Allahu alam. So I'm just saying this in case in the future you might meet somebody who might open this page, then you know how to reply. So Abu Hurairah said, So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration, he and Abu Huraira to drink the milk at the last part of it. وعن أبي قتادة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ساق القوم آخرهم شربا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ساق القوم آخرهم. The one who is feeding people should be the last person to take that a meal or to take that thing which he is giving them to drink. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
حبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد.
There is a question about a person being invited to places where he knows that ma'asi are taking place. Islamically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prohibited for a person to join the Ahlul Ma'asi. So if you know that the place you are going, that it's ma'asi, that you cannot fix them, then it is wajib upon you to stay away from that place. And look for other chances to approach those people who are doing, whether they are from the relatives or they are from strangers, to advise them. And to advise them and to be patient with them. But to join them when they are committing the ma'asiyah and to be in that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ. The Jews were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they remind people, whether from the family or others, to stay away from the ma'asi, but they don't. But then they sit with them, they laugh with them, they do everything, you know. They make life normal with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them, ala lisani Dawood wa Isa ibn Maryam. So we, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also, if we are to do the same thing, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might hold that person responsible of what is being done in his presence. So the best is to avoid the places of ma'asi that you know you cannot fix, and get the time to go and approach those people, whoever they are, and advise them wisely in a good way until they stop, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and be with all of us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.